Gospel of Matthew, chapter 22. A little bit of reading this morning, but we're going to read this parable in its entirety. Praise the Lord. Matthew 22, beginning in verse 1, if you would, please. And Jesus answered, and he spake unto them again by parables, and he said, that the kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king, which made a marriage for his son. And he sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. And again, he sent forth other servants, saying, tell them which are bidden, behold, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready. Come unto the marriage. But they made light of it. And they went their ways, one to his farm, another to his merchandise. And the remnant took his servants, and they entreated them spitefully, and they slew them. But when the king heard thereof, he was wroth, and he sent forth his armies, and he destroyed those murderers, and he burned up their city. And then he said to his servants, the wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy. So go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as you shall find, bid to the marriage. And so those servants went out into the highways, and they gathered together all as many as they found, both good and bad. And the wedding was furnished with guests. And when the king came in to see the guests, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. And he said unto him, friend, how camest thou in here not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. And then the king said to the servants, bind him hand and foot, and take him away, and cast him into outer darkness. And there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are the called, but few are chosen. Many are called, but few are chosen. The name of our message this morning, I'm going to take out of verse 4, all things are ready. All things through the finished work of Jesus Christ that God sent forth as a propitiation for our sin. Everything is ready. Are you coming to the wedding? Are you coming to the feast? Amen. All things are ready. Let's go before the Lord. Father, again, as we humbly come in your presence through the blood of your Son, Jesus Christ, Father, we again thank you for those that have gathered to hear your word. This morning we are asking for a unique anointing of the Holy Spirit that would anoint the preacher and anoint the hearts of your hearers. Father, move in this service. Let the Spirit of the Lord have his way. Lord, do a deep work in all of us. Draw us ever nearer to you, Lord. And Father, this morning again, give the children's church their portion, strengthen the teacher, and bless the children. And Father, there's many needs in this house today. Lord, you search the hearts, and it's our heart today, Lord, that you would bless your people and that we would all go out encouraged and go out full. And everybody said, amen and amen. Many lives will end in outer darkness. As you and I look at the religious world, as we look at the world round about us, there's a lot of people that are going to heaven, don't get me wrong, but there are multitudes more that will not. Jesus tells a parable, and really in the parable, the king is God the Father, and there's a wedding being prepared for his son, which is Jesus Christ. God the Father, from the foundation of the world, knew that man would rebel and that man would sin and go astray from his creator, but God, in love for his creation and love for the man and the woman that he put in that garden way back 6,000 some years ago, would make a way back, that they could find their way back to God and find their way back into the mercies of God, into the right fellowship with God. And God began to provide a way that man could be redeemed from the condition of his original sin. Amen. You know, people today say, you know, how do I know God loves me? Well, he loved you by dying for you. God loved this world. He loved you and I. He loved whosoever will. That if we would just believe upon the Son of God scripturally, amen, And Jesus even qualified that in the gospel. If you and I believe on the Son of God as the scripture teaches, then out of his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. Amen. Speaking about the spirit-filled life, the born-again experience. Amen. And listen, God hath made a provision for every one of us and for every human being that has ever been born into Adam's race. God has made a way that that individual can come under full redemption, full pardon, and be invited to the wedding, amen, and enjoy fellowship with God forever, amen. You know, this whole thing of Christianity is about you and I in fellowship with God. It's you and I like Adam walking in the garden of the cool of the day, amen. You know, men have to come into fellowship with God. Men have to get their sin under the blood. The provision has been made, amen. The wedding is set. The table is set. And friend, all things are ready, amen. There's nothing else that Jesus has to do. For when he was resurrected from the dead, he is now seated on the right hand of God. That speaks that his work is finished and all things are done. All things are ready. There's nothing else he has to do. Now it's just a matter of God's plan being worked out in God's time. But meanwhile, there's a wedding prepared and everything is ready and the guests are being bidden one by one to come to the house of the King. Amen. Glory to God. And Jesus uses this parable to really deal with Israel. Again, Israel is always seen as the people that are called of God. They're the set apart by God. God, in his love and mercy for this family, would reach out to them over and over and over. But Israel, as many today, get caught up in the religious side of life. Amen? And there's a big difference between dead religion and a relationship with Jesus in your heart. Amen? Hallelujah. Religion will kill you. It will destroy your life. In fact, the Word of God tells us in this parable that many will end up in outer darkness. And why do they end up in outer darkness? Because religion is not fellowship. Religion is not relationship. The true way of Christianity is a relationship between you and the living God with your sins dealt with by the cross of Jesus Christ. And friend, there's a new heart and a new life and a new spirit within you. Amen. And friend, all things, there's a love for God, a love for the things of God, a love for the house of God, a love for the Word of God, a love for worship, a love for the Holy Spirit and the triune Godhead. Amen. Glory to God. A new heart, a new spirit I'll put into you. All things are ready. Amen. All things are ready. As I preach to you today and as I would bring to you the Word of God, my God, 2,000 years ago, all things have been made ready through the finished work of the cross. Amen. And I love that truth. I war good warfare by that truth. I will die on that truth. Amen. Hallelujah. All things are ready. That means everything has been prepared for you. Everything has been prepared for you that God has. Amen. There's nothing else God has to do. It's all prepared. Now can you learn to enter his rest and walk with Christ and love the finished work of Calvary and enjoy what God wants to bring to you day by day as you sojourn in this life day at a time with him. Amen. Amen. All things are ready. Everything is ready. Your future is ready. Your tomorrow is ready. Everything is planned for you already. It is done. It is a finished work. It is done. It is done. It is done. All you have to do is walk with him in faith. And my friend, it'll all come to pass in its time. Amen. Amen. Some of you under the weather, a little low, a little bear down by circumstances, I'm here to say it ain't going to be forever. He'll bring you out. He'll deliver. He'll raise you up. He'll lift you up again. Amen. If you're going through hell, my God, don't park there. Just keep going. Just keep going. Keep going. Keep going. Amen. And you'll get through that. It's always been said that God has to test faith, and great faith has to be tested greatly. Amen. And so understand that sometimes because of what God is trying to develop in you and I, sometimes the hardships of life, which can be excruciating at times, but if you'll hang on to that nail-scarred hand, he's going to bring you through it all. He'll bring you through it all. How do I know? Because all things are ready. Amen. Hallelujah. You never catch God by surprise. Everything has been made ready for your life. Amen. Hallelujah. And so understand that many will end up in outer darkness. Many will end up in outer darkness. Why? because many have been invited to the marriage feast. How many people do you know today that have heard the gospel, that have been brought to a full gospel Bible church, been invited to the house of the Lord and heard the gospel preached? They've been told over and over and over, the only way to God is through Jesus Christ. Religion can't save you. How many times have they heard that message over and over and over? Do you know the common American has heard the gospel? We are so saturated in this culture with the gospel, amen, except the new generation. Now, there's a new generation coming up that has not known the ways of God, amen, and maybe the Lord is allowing that purposely because, you know, they've not been gospel hardened, amen. I mean, they're a mess. They're really, their lives are wrecked, but the hope is Jesus Christ and Him crucified, who can save and deliver and make all things new, because why? All things are ready. Amen. But many will end up in outer darkness because they've heard the gospel, heard the message. They've been invited to the feast. They've been bidden to come. And they hear it, 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 and yet they go their own way. Amen. You see, there's only two destinies. Either into arms of Christ, welcoming you into the balconies of heaven, or men will die eternally lost, separated from God, in the lake of fire that burns with fire and brimstone. Even Jesus taught about it. Do you know Jesus taught twice as much about destruction and hell than He did about heaven? Amen. Jesus warned men, and He came to His own. And the Bible says His own didn't receive Him. And God was really dealing this parable, speaking of Israel. You know, it's where many people are today. Many were invited to the marriage feast. But it said in verse 5, they made light of it, and they went their ways, one to his farm, one to his merchandise. Boy, if that isn't the common person today. You pour out your soul, you pour out your heart, you tell people the need for God, a need for a relationship with Jesus. You tell them about the love of the cross, the blood of the cross. You tell them about the new hope in Jesus. You tell them about the infilling of the Holy Spirit. You tell them about the good things God has prepared for them that love them. And you know what? It's like water off a duck's back. They just go their way. They make light of it. One to his merchandise, one to his home, one back to the farm. Amen. I got a life to live. I got things to do. I'm preoccupied. Amen. On the way to church this morning, Liz and I were talking about, I said, you know, before I got saved, I remember in the Lutheran church I was brought up in, they started doing this thing called Saturday night services. And the reason was, is because, so if they went Saturday night, they wouldn't have to get up on a Sunday morning. You know, and my wife, she says, you know why they do that? Another reason, he says, so they can go out and binge on their Saturday nights and get up, not have to get up with a hangover and get to church. Amen. And some of you are going, I'm not making this up, amen. I've been there. I've seen it already, amen. But again, people bidden to the feast, bidden to the truth, but they won't come. They make light of it. How many people today make light of the truth? Make light of the gospel. Make light. How can I say? They're playing Russian roulette with their spiritual life. And they are in danger, my friend. Amen. And where will they end up? In outer darkness. In outer darkness. In outer darkness. Many will end up in outer darkness. What is outer darkness like? To give you a picture story, imagine the safety of a campfire. When you're in a wilderness and there's ravening wild beasts lurking on the edge of the woods, lurking in the wilderness, in the brambles, and you got the safety of the group around the campfire. Amen. All is well. We're a group. We're together. We're around the campfire. And that's where the heat is. That's where the light is. And that's where the safety is. It's a type of the church. It's a type of redemption. But then you got those that aren't part of that group. And so they're exiled into the edge of the woods and in the brambles and in the bulrushes. And they're standing without. They see the fire afar off, but they're not part of the group. And they are in outer darkness. We can't see them. They can see the fire, but they are hid and obscured in outer darkness. That's kind of what the Bible talks about in Revelation. That one day, even in the new heavens and the new earth, the Bible said that the smoke of their torment will rise up before the throne of God forever. I still wonder if they'll be able to gaze out of that pit and see the glory of God and see the goodness of God, but they can't partake of it. They're exiled into outer darkness because of willful disobedience to the truth of the gospel. Amen. Amen. Many will end up in outer darkness. You see, light rejected is light rescinded. It says in John chapter 1, and the light shone in the darkness, and the darkness didn't comprehend it. And then it said a little later on, he came unto his own, but his own received him not. That's the way it's always been. You know, thank God, somehow, listen, all of you here, somehow the gospel penetrated into your heart and your life. And you heard the good news. Maybe you weren't ready for it. It took me 10 years from the first time I really heard the truth to the time I received it. But somehow God broke through, and I'm here today. Somehow he broke through your heart and heart and got your attention and saved your soul. Amen? Somehow he got through, and you're here today, man. Thank God. But it said, the light came, he came to his own, and his own received him not. Where the truth was preached, you know, how many people, oh, I love Jesus, I love Jesus. We'll get to that in a minute. But it's not according to truth. It's not according to the gospel pattern. Amen? Light rejected is light rescinded. When you and I make light of the gospel, make light of the truth, even the message of the cross, do you know that we're in the middle of a new reformation that is just as important as Martin Luther's reformation of the just shall live by faith? We'll look back. Jesus said men will do that. They'll look back and give honor to the prophets and to the preachers that are dead and here and gone. But while they were in that generation, your fathers are the ones that put them to death. It tells you that the living, at the time when the reformations and the move of God happens, harden up for various reasons, and they reject the true messengers and the true message of God. Because of the religious heart. Because they're not doing it like we did it. If God was going to move, he'd move in our church, not that church. That's the mindset. We've been doing this since Grandma and Grandpa. We're in this church. Mom and Dad, we're in this church. We're in this church. It's got to be of the Lord. It has to be of God. We got a $10 million building. We're in every broadcasting station. And it must be of God. No, it's not. That's never an indicator. How do you know something is of the Lord? First of all, what's being preached behind that pulpit? There's one message, Christ and Him crucified. And you must come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ and be born again and saved from the wrath of God by your faith for personal sin. Amen. Personal condition of personal sin. Amen. Glory to God. Religion ain't going to do it, my friend. Hallelujah. They rejected the light and they crucified their own Messiah. That happens today. They usually have an issue with God's messengers, right? That's what we read in the parable. He sent messengers. Tell the people, everything is ready. All is ready. All is ready. All is ready. We've been preaching this cross message. Like I said, we're in the middle of a reformation just as important as the just shall live by faith under Martin Luther. The message of the hour now, the Spirit is saying to the church, Christ and Him crucified wears not only your victory for salvation, but your victory for sanctification. Amen. The problem we have in the modern church is we got so far away from the cross, so far away from the blood, so far away from the finished work, and men resting in what was provided by God. That men have embraced self-righteousness and religious practices, and they're smug in their little religion, amen? But they've never brought their heart to the cross to be slain there by the blood of the Son of God, amen? The Bible says we are crucified with Him. That means that I hung on that cross in the mind of God when He hung on that cross. And the reason I hung there is because I deserved it. Amen. Amen. But the Reformation today is Jesus and Him crucified. Paul called it the preaching of the cross, or the word of the cross. The church kind of understands salvation by the cross, and that's a message that we've all heard. That's how you got saved. Jesus died for me. But you know one thing the church didn't know how to do? And I'll prove it to you in a minute. They didn't know how to teach new believers now that you came to the cross for salvation how to get victory in your personal life as it regards sanctification. And that is the message that is being preached by the Holy Spirit in this last hour of time. You say, well, how do you know that, Pastor? Why do we got so many people in the body of Christ that have hidden sin issues and very little victory over the passions, evil passions of that heart and that life? Why are God's people bound by evil thoughts, evil hearts, jealousy, strife, malices? Why are we bound by alcohol and drugs and immoral things? Why are we, come on now, why are we bound by temper and anger and poor dispositions? And if you don't think that, why are we so lifted up in pride? The cross slays all that. Amen? And it gives me a victory. Why? Because all things are ready. All things are ready. It has been a hidden message for the last 100 years, but there's a reformation. We are in a move of God in this last hour of time, whether you want to receive it or not. And it is Jesus and Him crucified for my sanctification. Amen? Thank God. All things are ready. There's a victory for you. You don't need a 12-step program. You don't need the psychiatric couch. There is victory through the Son of God. All things have been done. All things are ready. God has given us all things that pertaineth unto life and godliness through the knowledge of the One who died for us. Amen. And when that is taught and when that is preached, I get victory over the nicotine. I get victory over the illicit habits. I get victory over the evil thoughts. I start getting victory over my attitudes and my... I'm telling you, my God, hey, listen, I'm a mess apart from God. Hallelujah. And if you'll admit it, so are you. Hallelujah. There is help and there's hope and there's victory. Oh, my God, I got a long ways to go. Sanctification is being played out in my life on a daily basis. And I'll tell you, there's days it's excruciating, the things that God allows you to go through. But it reveals, the pressure reveals that I have a long way to go in this grace message. Thank God for the grace of God. All things are ready. He don't have to go to the cross again to deal with it and to give me the power. You see, this is the message, that, and this is where most of the church gets off the bus and thinks we're just repeating just an old message. My God, if that's the way you're looking, then you don't understand the cross as it regards your sanctification. And I'll guarantee there's sin reigning in your life. It may not be exposed to everybody, but there's things going on in your heart and in your life that aren't right. That aren't right. That are not right. But in Christ, there's no condemnation. Because those things that aren't right, as I yield to Him, He's changing me. He's changing me. He's changing me. We go from glory to glory to glory. Paul said, little by little, we bear the image of the heavenly. There's a change going on. There's a victory coming. There's a victory there. All things are done. All things are ready. It is for whosoever will. If you want victory in your life, it is yours. It is for you. That's what Jesus died to do. Amen. Hallelujah. The message of sanctification. We're in the midst of a reformation. This message is going all over the world. How to get victory. You know, this is what the body of Christ has done. When the brother stumbles and has an issue, or the sister stumbles and has an issue, all we do is go, oh, how could they do that? How could they? Oh, I can't believe what they did. How did that happen? You know what happened? Because there's a sin nature there in every one of us. And my friend, if you don't understand the cross as it regards your sanctification, that sin nature will rule somewhere in your life. And it will manifest itself through various ways. Attitude, issues, drama, problems, vices, pride, arrogancy, jealousy, strife, malice. Oh, it's there. It's there. And it shows when somebody has a stumbling, how you react to it. There was a day when somebody sinned and messed up in the house of God. I go, shh. You know, it was just like, geez. You can tell they weren't right with God. You know, and I thought I was doing God a service by taking that viewpoint. I'll tell you what, God pulled me through that keyhole. God humbled my rear end. Amen. And I needed it. God brought me low, and I've seen some things in me that even though I love the Lord, I didn't understand how to get the victory over some things that were in my life. I blamed it on my dad. My dad was sarcastic, so, you know. You know, the Bible says when a man sins, you can't blame the father and the father can't blame the child. Each man is accountable for our own sin. You know, the hardest thing we have to do is to say, the devil made me do it. No, the devil that makes you do it, you have flesh. And the reason you did it is because something happened and Satan overrode your will. Because you don't know how to get the victory through the finished work. All things are ready, but how are you going to understand how to get the victory and eat this king's feast, amen, if you're not taught it and preached it and it's shown to you, amen? I didn't understand until I started hearing the message of the cross, the good news. That my God, I'm not saved by works righteousness. It's all resting in an imputed righteousness, amen? I talked with a man that has been in the gospel over 30 years. I think he's been in a little longer than I have. We talked one day for 2 hours in my office. And I started telling him, teaching about imputed righteousness. He goes, what's that word? Imputed righteousness. He never heard that. Raised in a full gospel Pentecostal church. Never heard and was never taught what imputed righteousness is. Huh. I hope you're not here wondering what it is, because I think we talk about it quite a bit. Let's get into this a little deeper. Do we have your attention? Amen? See, light rejected is light rescinded. It's drawn away from us then. See, many will come to God's table, but without the provided garment. In fact, in verse 12, it said, friend, how camest thou in here without a wedding garment? And the Bible says he was speechless. Like, he couldn't answer. He couldn't answer. Now, what's that wedding garment all about? Way back in the traditions of old, when a king would put on, when the prince would be married off, and it was a kingdom wedding, the guests that were invited, one thing you had to do as a guest, you were given a cloak. A wedding garment. That wedding garment, number one, showed that you were an invited guest. Number two, it meant that you submitted to the festivities going on and you were in unity with what was going on in the kingdom at that event. You know, the man that we read of, he came in, he did not have on a garment. The king walking through the crowd realized and he goes, friend, what are you doing here without the garment I provided? He was speechless. What's that garment a type of? That garment is a type of the provided righteousness of Jesus Christ. There are many today that have come to God's table in houses of God all over the land that have pulled up to the table without a provided wedding garment. Notice, the king provided the garment. Jesus, God the Father, through Jesus Christ, provided your garment of righteousness. It has nothing to do with you. Nothing. He was of the type, I'm going to the wedding. I don't need that garment. I got my own. My own is good enough. If that ain't good enough, oh well. Well, he found out, oh well. He was speechless, and now the king is bearing down on him. Where's your garment? He was speechless. And he told the servants, bind this one hand and foot and cast him out. And it said he was cast out into outer darkness, where there is weeping. And then Jesus would finish the parable. Many are called, few are chosen. See, many have been invited. But see, when you're coming to God's table, you can't bring your righteousness, friend. You can't bring your religion. You can't bring church your way. You can't bring your church in a box. You can't bring your thing. You got to come and surrender to what is being provided by God Himself. God provided this garment. God in Christ provided your righteousness. Has nothing to do with you, but everything to do with all things already. And he brought the garments, and everybody that came in was given a cloak of righteousness. Wow. Jesus told the story. He didn't make this up. There was a provision of God for everyone that was invited to the wedding. Well, what did he do? We look a little farther here. See, he was speechless. The king would provide the festive garments for his guests. This speaks of imputed righteousness versus the self-righteousness that people will clothe themselves in. What is the end of it? The end was outer darkness. Cast him into outer darkness. Now, how does this happen? It says in Psalms 50, "Now consider this, you that forget God, lest I tear you into pieces and there be none to deliver. Whoso offereth praise will glorify me, and to him who ordereth his conversation aright will I show the salvation of God." You see, today men are not ordering their way of life, their conversation aright. Amen. They're not ordering their way properly according to the Word of God. They're coming into the table of the Lord. They're coming into the house of God clothed in their own self-righteousness. That's why this message of the cross has to be preached. Every one of us, come on. We are born full of pride and self-sufficiency. We are born self-righteous. I'll prove it to you. How many years did it take for you to surrender to the gospel? Well, I was born in it, brother. No, you were born in religion. And that puffed you up even more than the sinner out there. Jesus said sinners and publicans and whoremongers will go into the kingdom before you, the self-righteous. This man came in. He sat right down. I'm part of this group too. And he sat down, probably kicked his foot up. And the king came by, friend. Get your shoe off my pew. Where's your wedding garment? And he sat there, and he was speechless. His self-righteousness did nothing for him, but got him condemned by God himself. What are you clothed with right now? What are you clothed with? What garment, spiritually speaking, do you have on? Do you have one at all, or do you got your own? Is it religion your way because you were brought up in it? He was speechless. But you know, how does this happen? Men forget God. Men make light of it. They go their ways. They go to their farm. They go to their merchandise. They just walk away because in their mind, I'm all right. I'm not such a bad guy. Well, if we read the rest of the parable, all of a sudden now, the king tells, go out into the highways, into the byways, and get the good and get the bad. I want my house full. Or he actually said, get the bad and get the good. It tells you all things are still ready in spite of people. In spite of those that reject the gospel is still ready for those that want it. Amen? There's still a cloak of righteousness, the imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ given to all of us. And friend, you don't earn it. It's not by merit. It's not by who's naughty or nice per se. It is by who believes and who receives what the king has offered. You got to remember, we live in this world, but this is God's world. This is God's backyard. And you and I have carved out a living in a home in God's earth. It's His world. It's His earth. And you don't live to yourself. And you don't do your own thing. Every one of us will give an account to God. Every one of us. Hallelujah. He that ordereth his conversation aright, I will show the salvation of God. When I'm lined up with the cross, with the finished work, my faith is in the blood. Now I get grace on a moment-by-moment basis where God is helping me, enabling me, strengthening me, changing me. Step at a time, without guilt and without no condemnation. And if I sin, I have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous, that if I confess my sin, He is just, He is faithful to forgive me of my sin and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. My God, there's a hope here, my Lord. Hallelujah. But I don't come in my own self-righteousness. I come cloaked in His righteousness. Hallelujah. Isaiah would say it this way in Isaiah 61. He said, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God. For He has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decks himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with her jewels. God said, let us be joyful in Him, because He hath clothed us with the garments of salvation. He hath cloaked us with the robe of righteousness. Amen. I believe part of this parable was a pickup of that verse out of the Old Testament. Hallelujah. You, by simple faith in Jesus, in His shed blood for you, even when you're having a struggle in your day, you have the perfect righteousness of Jesus Christ, because by faith you're wearing the cloak that God gave you to wear. You read of the story of Joseph, the coat of many colors. You have that coat of many. You're the favored son. All of us. God has no favorites because we're all His favorite. And we all have the same robe of righteousness. Now this gets the self-righteous all upset. Because I know whosoever will over here has got some real problems. And got some real struggles. I was telling the brother, we're putting in the doors, I said, one of the things that just marveled me one day is we preach on the baptism in the Holy Spirit, and we had an altar call. That was the morning Ron got filled. But there were some ladies visiting here, her and I think her younger children. And these people were rough. Some of you were here, maybe you remember that, but these are rough people. You could just tell life has not been too friendly to them. They came up to be filled with the Holy Spirit. My thought is that I think they need salvation first. And as God is our witness, God filled Ron with the Holy Spirit right over here. They stood right over here. And the mother and the one younger son began to lift their hands and speak in other tongues as the Spirit of God gave the utterance. God filled them with the Holy Spirit. Amen. I was going by the outward appearance, and they didn't look like they even had salvation. But God saw the heart and knew the heart, and God filled them. Hallelujah. And I took it as a reproof to never, never judge with the seeing of the eye. Amen. Amen. Now listen, some things are obvious. Sanctification may be a serious need in somebody's life. I'm not quick to put people in heaven, but I'm not quick to put people in hell either. Sometimes you got to give it time. And if you're not sure, it's better just lift that person up before the Lord, knowing that God is able to make the weaker brother stand. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. The beauty of the message of the cross, it'll produce a church and a people that aren't judgmental, that aren't full of self-righteousness and bigots, amen, that will love whosoever will, amen, that will love that message. And if you're here and you're struggling with the message of the cross, it's because you don't understand the message of the cross and you don't understand your need for the robe of righteousness. You're in your own. And my friend, if God confronted your heart, you'd be speechless. What do you do when the king is bearing down on you? The Bible says by the countenance of the king, evil is scattered. It's one thing to have a preacher look at you. It's another thing to have a living God. And you're not going to plead your infant baptism because it's unbiblical. You're not going to plead your church attendance because that's unscriptural. You're not going to plead your good behavior. In fact, we just mentioned it. Let me just take you there a moment.
He said, call the bad and call the good and fill my house. You know, when I read that, I was checked in my spirit. I don't think I fully arrived in this message of grace, in this message of imputed righteousness. Because when I read that, in preparing for this message, I'm reading that and I'm pondering this. Oh, the good and the bad. We need to reach out to the bad. You're all saying amen to that. I did too. And then I saw the little note in the Expositor's Study Bible. And it said Jesus just didn't die for the bad. He died for the good. You and I are the bad. No, there's none good. No, not one. I read that thinking, yeah, we got to reach out to the bad, to the sinner. But do you realize that old self-righteousness? No, 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 no. We got to reach out to the self-righteous. Amen. To those that think they're good. Boy, now you're getting down on us, Pastor. You're making us all feel like none of us are good. Well, you're kind of agreeing with Scripture now. No, there is none good. But guess what? In Christ, you're beloved. He didn't die for good men. He died for sinners. And Paul said, of whom I'm chief. Paul would even say, oh, wretched man that I am. When's the last time you said that about yourself? And said it with joy. Why is it when people bear down on you and tell you how no good you are, we get all upset? We should be agreeing and say, brother, it's a lot worse than that you're even telling me. Amen. 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 Come on. Yes. Give the Lord praise. Hallelujah. Amen. It's a lot worse. Amen. Than what you even see. They came to the wedding. You'll read your Bible different now. I'll guarantee you. Let's just pause there a moment. Game ain't till 2 o'clock. All right. Now listen. Listen, in that garden, there was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And when Eve partook of that tree and gave it to her husband Adam, there's a good side of that tree. What does that mean in a practical world? What does that mean today in 2014 or 2015? The good side of that tree is all the good things men do to think that earns them a place in heaven. There's a mentality, a mindset that men have that I don't need Jesus and His shed blood. I'm good enough to stand before God by my personal merit because I, thankfully, not like them. It's the self-righteous side of the tree. Men caught up in their own goodness, in their moral living. Thank God I work hard, I live a middle class life, I pay my bills on time. I do the right thing. I'm not out carousing, faithful to my spouse. I work hard, I'm a good employee. You know, oh, I have some little habits here and there, but you know. So how do you know you're going to heaven when you die, sir? Because I think God will accept me because I'm not so bad. What they didn't realize is that they just come in without a garment. To get into this kingdom, the kingdom of God, you cannot get in, number one, unless you acknowledge you need a garment. I'm a sinner. And I don't deserve the mercies of God. Number two, I have to come God's way. Not the religious way, not my way, not what men say, but what the Word of God says. And I must surrender to Jesus and Him crucified for me. I must receive Him and become a son of God. And then He gives me and cloaks me with a righteousness that I can't provide on my own. And there's only one righteousness God will accept, and that is the perfect righteousness of His Son, Jesus Christ. When God looks at you, He sees you in His Son. When God looks at you, he sees the righteousness of his son appropriated to your heart because spiritually you're joined to his son by faith. That gives you the cloak of righteousness. And if I've come scripturally, I get a new heart and a new spirit. And I'm changed forever. And I have a love for Jesus, and I'm not ashamed of this gospel. I'll go on to water baptism because I'm not ashamed to be identified with the one who was dead and buried and rose again for me. And in fact, with that new heart, new spirit, I even want the infilling of his spirit. I want everything he has for me. I want the baptism in the Holy Spirit as taught in Scripture, which most of us have gone on to receive. Amen. And to not want that, you're in rebellion against the truth of the gospel. And you come in without a garment. Let's finish this. I'm hoping we can shout before this is done, okay? All right. You see, men are not ordering your conversation right. They're rejecting the proper way of salvation, Jesus Christ. They're rejecting the proper way of truth, which is the message or the word of the cross for sanctification. They're rejecting God's way of righteousness, which is God's imputed righteousness. Means it's given to you and whosoever will freely, and we didn't earn it, we didn't deserve it. And men are rejecting the way of faith, faith through the grace of God for your victory over your personal condition of personal sin. Amen? And men today are rejecting God's way of victory, which is daily faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ on your behalf. Amen. We've been dealing with the Lord's Prayer on Wednesday nights. Daily, ask for God's provision. Jesus said, daily, pick up your cross. Daily, stay clothed in his righteousness. Wear that coat. When they saw Joseph coming, they hated him. Here comes that dreamer. If you got the coat of righteousness on, you know what's going to happen? Mostly the religious around you ain't going to like you. Ain't going to like your church. Ain't going to like your music. Ain't going to like the way you worship. Because they're envious of the coat you have on. You're enjoying life in your Father's kingdom. You're happy. You're joyous. Amen. You're enjoying life in the kingdom of God by faith. I'm not working, not earning anything. I'm enjoying what's been provided. And the ones that are full of works righteousness don't like that. You're not as faithful as us. You're not as steady as us. You're not doing everything we're doing. You need to be doing more. Doing, 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 doing. I thought God created Adam as a human being, not a human doing. Amen. And if you believe, all things are ready. God. I said God. I said God will give you everything. He'll give you everything in due time. You never quit. You never give up. You walk in that robe of righteousness, musicians. You just stay close to Jesus Christ and him crucified. You love this message of the cross. You learn this message of the cross. You get your daily sin under the blood, but daily war good warfare by the truth of the gospel. Amen. Because Jesus Christ is developing your life for his glory. Amen. Let's stand this morning. All things are ready, my friend. I got a half a page of notes yet, but I feel the Lord has spoken today by his Spirit. Hallelujah. As we come to this altar today, I believe there are various needs. Brother Bob, before you leave, we're going to anoint you with oil, so don't run off too quick. But I believe if you're here today, I just ask you a question. Do you have on his garment of righteousness? Or are you coming in without? Because there's only one provided robe, the one the king provided. And if you come through Jesus, through the blood, and your faith is solely in him, not on what day of the week you keep, not on what church you're part of, not on what your membership says, not your baby baptism, which is no baptism, you're coming clothed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ because you put faith in the Son of God. Amen. If that's you this morning, amen, then let's come to this altar and let's believe God today that he can straighten that out in our heart and in our life. If you need strength today, if you need a greater touch from God today, I'm just going to ask you to come to this altar. If you need somebody to pray with you, some of the elders will be up here. Just come as you feel led this morning, but we're going to sing a song. And let's just rejoice this morning in the goodness of God. Let's rejoice that we're clothed with the garment of righteousness. He provided it. Amen. Hallelujah. And let's believe that this year we're going to see greater things than we've ever seen in our personal lives this year because we are warring a good warfare through the truth of the gospel. Amen. And there are things that have not yet entered into your heart that God has prepared for them that love him. Amen. Let's come. Let's worship. Let's just take a few moments this morning. Let's rejoice before we go out of here today. If we can sing a song, please.
Call upon the name of the Lord. Have faith in his name.
Let's rejoice. Let's worship. Let's
Jesus
love him.
Jesus is the name Hallelujah. We adore. Just call. Just call.
Let's love him. Let's worship him.
Call upon
Let's let him cloak us in his righteousness. Amen. Let's rejoice in the cross and the blood and the finished work.
Call upon the name of the Lord.
Let's believe God for greater things this year than ever before. Amen.
In his name.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
For Jesus is the name we adore. Just call. Just call. Call upon the name of the Lord. Jesus, Jesus, give him praise. Call his name, Lord Jesus. Just call, just call.